Today I want to talk to you, and the title that I'm kind of working from is More Than a Healing. More Than a Healing. Well, it's a Boston song, but it's not a Boston song, it's More Than a Feeling. But yeah, I want to talk to you about More Than a Healing today. Turn to John chapter 9, verses 1 through 39. Actually, I'm not going to do all those verses. That's pretty much the whole chapter. I forgot to change that. I'm going to cut it down. We're going to do 1 through 7. How's that sound? I was going to read you the whole story, but then I realized that I can tell you the story probably quicker than I can read it. So John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 7. Are you there? Yeah, it's amazing how fast it goes. I remember I used to do that, and I'd be waiting and waiting for people to find it. Now they just doot, 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 pop. So, verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Say that the works of God should be revealed. That's interesting. I must work the works, verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Pretty cool, huh? I heard a preacher once say that when some of these blind guys heard Jesus starting to, you know, make that so he could spit, they thought he was going to spit on them. Because it was not an uncommon thing in that day that people spat on people who were sick. Why did they do that? Like the blind. The reason they did that was because, did you note that the confusion the disciples had? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? There was an attitude that if you were blind, if you had a sickness like this, you did something. You sinned. You were a worse sinner than the average person. That's what some people thought. And they thought it was okay to look down on those people, to demean those people, to make them less than they should have been considered because they were somehow sinners. So when Jesus made that spit, I don't know whether he made a noise or whether the man heard it and whether he thought maybe he was going to get spit on again. In fact, Jesus actually spit into one man's eyes, the scripture says. I didn't look that one up, but I remember it. But Jesus made that clay, and then he asks the man to go. And he says, Here, I'm going to put this on your eyes. Now go to the pool called Sent, the pool of Siloam. And the man went. Now, how many of you think that was easy for a blind guy? Probably wasn't super easy for him. I mean, he probably knew where it was, kind of, but I don't know about you, but if you put a blindfold on me and tell me to go someplace, I'm going to need some help. And I probably won't know even which way to begin to turn. It's not going to be easy. So he went, and he did as he was told. Jesus did that fairly often with people. But he also healed them, the scripture says, with just a word. He laid his hands on some. It was different every time. One of the things I love about Jesus is he always seemed to know what the person he was praying for needed. I wish I had that good a track record of knowing exactly what the person I'm praying for needed, because I think I would see more healings like Jesus saw more healings, because he never had a problem. He always knew what that person needed. And sometimes they needed something a little, I don't know, more to help them move. Sometimes they needed to do something. So sometimes he'd tell them what to do, but not always. Do you remember the woman at the well? Or excuse me, not the woman at the well, but the woman with the issue of blood. Remember that story? Woman's bleeding. It's in Matthew chapter 9 if you want to look for it. She's got this problem, and she sees him, and she thinks to herself, oh, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just reach out. And there's a crowd around Jesus all the time, right? And she just moves through that crowd. By the way, she wasn't supposed to touch anybody. She wasn't supposed to be in a crowd. She also was considered unclean. Isn't that interesting how many people sometimes are unclean? I think sometimes we keep ourselves from a healing because we think of ourselves as unclean. Anyway, she's moving through the crowd. She's touching people she's not supposed to touch. Pharisees find out she's in trouble. They'll put her in church jail. And she makes her way through and touches him. And as soon as she touches him, power goes out from him. And he knows it happened. He knows it went out from him. And he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, "Dude, have you noticed the crowd around you? Like, there's a lot of people here. What do you mean, who touched you?" He goes, no, somebody touched me. I felt the power go out." And she comes forward and falls and says, "I just knew that if I touched you, I'd be healed." And he says, "Good, your faith has made you well." There was something she needed to do. There was something the blind guy needed to do. John, would you do me a favor? Behind that black chair over there are two bags of salt. Two 40-pound bags of salt. Oh, look at him. He's like, "I got these." Just put them right here against that stage. Just real, yeah, like that. Perfect. I wanted to do an illustration today, and I thought it might be illustrative to actually bring two 40-pound bags of salt. A few years ago, I was out in my backyard, and it was this time of year. And I was getting leaves out of the window wells at the Hacker Hotel on Sherwood Drive. We had a lot of leaves over Sherwood. We had a lot of leaves. And so I got down into it, and then, you know, I was just throwing leaves out just fine, and I took a step up. And as soon as I lifted myself out, my back shot with pain. And I fell to my knees. And I was on my all fours. And I'm in pain. And I'm thinking to myself, "Well, that was stupid." Now, I'm actually kind of laughing. It's like, what in the world? I'm in pain and I can't stand up. And all I did was step up out of that thing. You know, it's in the ground that far. I just stepped up. That's all I did. Why? And I'm kind of laughing and kind of like hurting, you know. And I go in, I crawled along, it was behind the house. I crawled along the back, got over to the deck, slowly got myself up on the deck, got to the sliding glass door, got it with my fingernails, and slid it open, crawled into the living room, managed to get the door closed so the bugs wouldn't come in, and I found a recliner, and I worked my way into the recliner and sat there thinking, now what? What are you going to do? And every time I moved, I could feel it hurt. It hurt. So I sat there for probably an hour, scratching my head. What am I going to do? I don't know. Call Lisa. Maybe she can get me to a chiropractor. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was thinking of all the things that I needed to do. I didn't need to be sitting in a chair. I had stuff to do. I don't know whether you know this or not, but I like to do stuff. I like to get things done. And I thought about out in the garage, which was I'm sitting in a chair, and you got to walk about 25 feet to the garage door that goes into the garage. Out in the garage beside the wall were two bags of salt, just like these. It was even Morton. We had a water softener in the basement, and I first thought, well, I'm glad I wasn't carrying those bags down the steps when that jolt hit. And then I thought, but I still need to get those bags down the steps because my wife likes soft water. Make their hair nice. And I'm thinking about it, and I was like, man, I need a healing. And I had this dumb idea. Go do the salt. And I'm thinking, that's a dumb idea. But it wouldn't leave me alone. Wouldn't leave me alone. I'm like, go do the salt. That's a crazy idea. I thought, well, let's see if I can just get up on my feet. And so I got myself to where I was standing up. And I started shuffling across the carpet to where that turned into linoleum in the kitchen. And then I shuffled across the kitchen and got to the back door. And when I got back to the back door, I turned the knob, got the door open. And sure enough, there were those two bags of salt, just like these two right here. And I'm thinking, sure, what are you going to do with those, dummy? And I felt like, I'm going to take them downstairs. Why am I doing this? This is not smart. But sure enough, I went over, and I'll illustrate now if people are listening. They were actually, here, let me put them like this. They were actually like that against the wall. So then I thought, okay, don't bend your back. How am I going to do this? And I started trying to figure it out. So slowly I got down like this, and I got one out like that. And I got between them like this, and there's my back. And I went, okay. I remember watching lifters lift, and I'm not supposed to bend my back when I lift. Just use your legs. And I went like that. And the pain went away. And I'm thinking to myself, that's weird. So I walk over and I have to step up on a step. Oh, man, two steps right there from the garage to the... And I stepped up on the step. I stepped up on the next end of the house. And I walked across the kitchen. And now I only have to go downstairs with them. Full stairs in the basement, has a landing, and turns, it goes, and then you go back and through one room and back to the very back. You got to get a couple of doors open. And I walked downstairs and got those things downstairs and sat them down and went, that's the weirdest thing ever. So then I'm trying to think, did I just have a miracle, or was that just some kind of a thing where, you know, you pull on one side and pull on the other side? But even if it's just a thing where because you lifted and you bent, I unpinched a nerve, I don't know. Even if that's all it is, I'm thinking to myself, that's the weirdest thing ever. And then I'm thinking, but I was talking to God, and he started talking to me. Did I just need to do something so God could do something? Does God ever do that anymore? I mean, he did it in the Bible. Maybe I needed to do something so God could do something. Which reminded me of another one. Some of you remember me testifying about this. I was chasing kids on a Sunday night. We're playing tag, and I'm back here, and I'm trying to catch one of the boys. One of your grandkids, Wanda. He zigged, and I zagged, and I lost balance, and I slammed into that wall back there. And when I tried to get up, my knee was just not very cooperative. And I was done chasing boys that night. And about a week went by, and I was trying to figure out how we could get some of the carpet laid in the fellowship hall. And I said, "Lord, if you heal my knee, I'll lay that carpet." And the Lord said, "If you'll lay that carpet, I'll heal your knee." Again? I did, and he did. I never went to the doctor, but boy, I sure felt like I should. But I never did. I'm fine. Now, I'm going to tell you something really crazy. Some of you know that I'm, and I testified last week that I'm in my battle with leukemia. I've been, this chronic lymphocytic leukemia, that I've been doing a diet that the doctor said would never work. And I was reading some more stuff about it. Do you know that exercise helps with cancer? So I started exercising. I've been exercising for years a little bit, but I've gotten serious about it. And this morning, I did an exercise routine because I'm kind of nuts. I get up for about a 15-minute thing almost every day now, and I'm feeling good. I did 90 push-ups in a row this morning. I don't know if God told me I had to do that or not, but I've decided that I'm going to do what can't be done. By the way, do you know the reason you can't move like that is because you don't move like that? Just saying. I've been making my body move, and God's blessing me. Now, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying sometimes God's looking for us to participate. How many think we should participate with God? Yeah, and if we ask him, I think he'll tell us what he wants us to do. So sometimes we have to move in faith. Move in faith. He's waiting us to make a move in faith. I want to expand on this. I don't want to make this too easy or too short or sound the wrong way. I'm not trying to bring any kind of conviction or condemnation. I'm talking about something that I believe is an invitation by God, an invitation by God for us to do things that we might not normally do, an invitation for us to ask him, is there anything you want me to do? And by the way, if you ask him, he may ask you to do something weird. Remember the story of Peter and John in Acts chapter 3? We used to sing about it. Peter and John went to pray and met a lame man on the way. He held out his palm and asked for an alm. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We used to sing that. You can read about it in Acts chapter 3. Interesting thing, by the way. In Acts chapter 4, it says that man was over 40 years old. And I heard another preacher. You hear these preachers. I like listening to preachers. Some of them got some good ideas. Some of them. This guy was born lame. And it says that he was laid at the gate beautiful every day to ask for alms. Alms, by the way, is, you know, help to the poor. And the Pharisees were known to give alms because they liked to. They, look what I'm giving this poor, cruddy person. And so every day they put him at the gate beautiful. And by the way, that's why Jesus said, don't do your alms before men. He didn't say don't be seen giving. Just don't do your alms where you're better than the person you're giving to. That was the problem. Doesn't mean people shouldn't know you give. It just means people shouldn't know you give so you can pat yourself on the back in front of people. But there's no doubt that if this man was 40 and Jesus died at what age? Yeah. And it wasn't very long before Peter and John there in Acts had been with Jesus. It was probably within the first year that Jesus somehow had walked past this man at the gate beautiful. Because Jesus had been to Jerusalem a lot of times and been in the temple. And how did this guy not get healed? How did he get overlooked? How did he not receive what Jesus was giving so freely to so many? Jesus healed in the temple and got yelled at for it because it was on the Sabbath. I kind of wondered to myself, because then I thought of another guy, another blind guy, the way, one named Bartimaeus. Do you remember that story? You can read about that in Mark chapter 10. Bartimaeus was out, and he heard that Jesus was going by, and he'd heard that Jesus had healed a bunch of people, so he started yelling, "Hey! Hey, Jesus! Over here! I'm blind! Come over here!" And if you read that passage, you'll see some guys going, "Shut up! Be quiet! You're making a spectacle of yourself! He's got better things to do than to come over here and deal with you, old blind, dirty old man." Mark 10, if you want to look it up, I've got it all right here, but I'm not going to read it to you. I've told you enough. I think you know the story anyway. Jesus said, "Hey, tell him to come here." And all of a sudden, the guys that were going, "Shh, shh, shh, shh. Oh, he's asking for you. We'll take you over." James and John, you know, "Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the left side. Let's take this man over. Show God, Jesus, how good we are to bring this man to him." Maybe. I don't know. Didn't say that in the scripture. I just made that one up. The blind man yelled and got something. I kind of wondered, did the guy at the Gate Beautiful, did he just never yell about it? Or did he not hear? Or how did he miss out? Or another question that came to mind was, could it be possible that it had something to do with the timing of God? That's a thought, isn't it? What if it was the timing of God? Remember, John 9, verse 3, our starting text today, it said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Maybe that man missed it somehow, but the Lord wasn't worried about it because he knew that Peter and John were going to come along at the right time. And when Peter and John came along at the right time, then this man got something more than a healing. See, sometimes I think we're looking for the thing we think that God ought to do, but sometimes God wants to do more than we're thinking. God's got a plan to do something more than we've thought about so far. And we should be looking in faith, even if it didn't happen when we thought it should happen the way we thought it should happen. We should still be looking in faith, knowing that God wants to do more. Because with the man at the Gate Beautiful, the man born lame, 40-year-old man, over 40 years old, God did three things, actually. Or if you will, took away the dis-ease in three areas of his life. The dis-ease. He went walking, physically healed. He went leaping, emotionally healed. You can walk, but when you start going, "Wow!" there's something going on inside of you. He went walking, he went leaping, and he went praising God, spiritually healed. Sometimes God's trying to do more. And I can tell you, I've prayed for people who got a miraculous healing, but didn't seem to really grab a hold of what God was trying to do in their life. It really does make me feel pained that there's a couple of crazy good healings that I can think of where I thought I'd see the person again the next day and talk to them more about Jesus, and they never showed back up. We had one on a Saturday over here in the fellowship hall, and the man said, "I'll be here tomorrow with my mother. She needs healing too." And I was so excited. He just came for the yard sale. And he got healed. He was dragging a leg. Remember that testimony? He was dragging a leg. And Paul Carnes and I prayed for him. He was dragging a leg. And he walked over after we prayed for him to the refrigerator. I said, "Go over there, walk over to that and come back." And as he walked over and came back, his leg got completely healed. He had a place in his back where he got pinned between the wall or a forklift and a rack at work. And then he ran through the fellowship hall between the tables, shouting and running. And I thought, "Well, this is going to be good." And then he says, "I'm coming back tomorrow with my mother." I never saw him again. maybe there was more that needed healed, and I didn't think about more. I was kind of shocked myself. I prayed for him, but I didn't expect him to be so healed so fast. Sometimes God's doing more than we know or than we can recognize. And perhaps the healing that this man at the gate beautiful, the healing that he needed was postponed just so God could heal more than his body. I don't know. I don't have answers to all these things. But I know that he received what God had for him. So what if God desires to do more in a situation than we can see from our limited perspective? We do have limited perspectives, don't we? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, the pain is such that we want that more than anything else. How many of you know the pain may not be the most important healing that you can receive? Pain goes away, and you go back to living a life that keeps you from what God has for you? Ooh, that's a scary thought. God maybe wants to heal something in your family. Maybe he wants to heal a relationship. Maybe he wants to heal something going on where you work. Maybe God wants to bring a breakthrough in any number of areas where, again, there is dis-ease. Dis-ease. We always think of disease. What if there's dis-ease in some area of your life and God's trying to do something and that's what he wants to do the most? Why? Because some things have greater consequences for eternity. God raised Lazarus from the dead, but I have a feeling that Lazarus died again. When I first went into ministry, it wasn't a convenient time. 1980. Me and three other guys decided to all quit their jobs in December of 1979 and start out 1980 as a full-time Christian band with only a few gigs lined up. We just thought if we gave it our all that we'd line up all the gigs in the world. We didn't. And some of the gigs we lined up, I still remember going to a place called Gassaway, West Virginia. They took up an offering of $25 and put us up in a mobile home overnight. And Tony broke his drumsticks going outside to turn on the gas so that we could get the pilot lit for the heater because it was cold and there was no heat in that mobile home because they turned it off. And he couldn't get it by hand, so he grabbed a pair of drumsticks and got it turned, and then one broke. I think the drumsticks were almost worth what we got as an offering. But you know, we felt the Lord wanted us to do something, and we did what we felt the Lord wanted us to do, and it was a step of faith. It was kind of a crazy step of faith, and I believe the Lord used it. I believe he was trying to show me that I was called to be a pastor, not a roadie, not a guy out, you know, not the next Petra, but whatever. And it was a good time. We did that for several months. And I left my job at Kroger making something close to $27, $28 an hour compared to today's amounts. I was doing pretty good at Kroger. In a union safe, had a nice house, and a pregnant wife. She had our first child in July, the 20th of July. I quit my job and stopped working at Kroger January 1. But you know, sometimes God's asking you to do something that you don't know what he's asking you to do. You just think you know. I thought I knew we were going to be the next Petra. That's what I thought. God had a better plan. And a lot of you have heard me talk about coming to Flatland and thinking, God must be mistaken. Why would he want me to take over a church that started on Division Street in a town called Defiance? Sounds so lovely. But I love it here. I love it here. I'm so glad God sent us here. And he showed himself good to us right away when we got here. We were so blessed with the church, the people, and our kids who we thought we were ruining their lives, pulling them out of high school where they were at, bringing them here. Best move we ever made. All I'm saying is sometimes Jesus is telling us to do something. Sometimes the Spirit's telling us to do something. We just need to do what he's telling us to do. We just need to do what he's telling us to do. Because there's something that he wants to do to touch us. And sometimes we not only have to be ready for him to tell us to do something, sometimes maybe we just need to push through and touch him. The man born blind was told what to do, and he did it. But the lady with the issue of blood, she pushed through and touched him. She pushed through. I'm sure that could not have been easy. I'm thinking all of those men were probably bigger than her and not all that appreciative that some crazy woman was trying to weave her way through the crowd to get to Jesus. Everybody wanted to Jesus. Why should she be allowed in? Maybe we need to cry out when everybody else is telling us to shut up. That's what Bartimaeus did. Maybe that's what we need to do. Cry out when everybody else is saying, no, you be quiet. Or maybe he is just passing by us for now because he's getting ready to do something bigger and better than we can even imagine. But we trust him that he's not done. Because I know this, Romans 8:28 has been such an important verse to me since I was just an early Christian. Some of you know the one I'm about to read. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Years ago when we were in Auburn, Indiana, on staff over there, they had this guy in, and I can't remember his name, but he was fantastic. He was a Greek scholar. He would not open a normal Bible. If he went to a church someplace, he opened Greek. So when the pastor would say, you know, turn to Romans 8:28, he didn't open up a King James Version or a New King James Version or an NIV. He opened up a Greek Bible. Whatever passage the pastor would direct them to, he would open up a Greek Bible and be reading it while the pastor was reading it. It's one of those kind of guys. And he said something in that service on a Sunday morning, by the way. A Sunday morning, he preached 2 hours on a Sunday morning. You better love me, I gotta tell you right now. Well, maybe if I was as good as him. I sat there for 2 hours spellbound as he spent time on every word in Romans 8:28. Took his time and explained every word. And the nuances of it, the tenses, and I was like, ah. I don't even like theology, but this guy's great. And he said something that got my attention because he understood Bible translation better than anybody I've ever met. I only met him that one time. And I know there are smarter people than him probably, but I haven't met any of them, so I don't want to tell you on that. But he said he liked the NIV translation of it better than the other translations. And already some of you are frowning. The NIV's got so many mistakes in it. I know. I like the New King James Version. That's what I've been reading to you this morning out of. That's what's in my notes. But he said he liked the NIV, and he said he liked it because of how it read. Let me read it to you in the NIV. And we know that I almost started to say this because it's become my go-to way of saying it. And we know that in all things, everybody say, in all things, God works for the good of those that loved him, or they're called according to his purpose. In all things don't always work that good. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not, but some things are working against me. Some things are not working the way I thought they should work. I don't like things. I don't trust things, but I trust God. In all things, God is working in all things. God is working in all things. God is working. Yeah. If God's working, I should be more than just a little hopeful. I should have confident expectation, which is what Bible hope is. Bible's not wishful thinking hope. Bible's confident expectation hope, expecting God to do something. That's the way it should be. Ultimately, also, in that context, it says, in all things, God is working to the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. God's doing what he's doing on purpose. Stop telling him he's not doing it right. He's doing it on purpose. And the sooner you get on board with his purpose, the quicker he can do it. How many think that's a good word right there? I just need to figure out what God's up to and then get right in the middle of that. It works so much better. I've also figured out that my life can only find real fulfillment in God's purpose. So I'm trying to do life on purpose. A whole lot of my life has been on accident, but I'm trying to do it on purpose. So let me encourage you this morning. I want you to be encouraged to be ready for God to ask you to do something that doesn't make any sense and you do it anyway. I want to encourage you to be ready for God to ask you to do something and then you do it. I want to encourage you to push through and touch him. Push through and touch him. Even when it isn't easy, keep pushing through. Get through all the distractions and the crowd and everything and push through and touch him. I want to encourage you to cry out for God, even if others seem like they don't want you to. Just keep crying out for God. God, I want you to do what you want to do. Even if others wish you wouldn't. And let me encourage you to wait on his timing. To realize if something's not happening the way you think it ought to happen in the way that you think it ought, when you have, you know, all that stuff, when and how and exactly. I know that I would have much rather not picked up 2 bags of salt. I would have rather just sat there in my chair and had an angel come down and touch me on the forehead and said, "Be healed, O servant of God, mighty man." And I would have just stood up, floating about 6 inches off the floor and just, But I'm thankful that he doesn't always do it my way because he's doing something more. So let's stand up. Maybe today is a good day for me to encourage people to take a step of faith. Maybe today is a day. I've done that 100 times before, you're about to say, but maybe today is a day when you need to come and stand on this line for a minute and get some prayer. So I'm going to invite you. I'm going to invite you to make a move from where you are to this spot up here. Make a move for something you believe you need to make a move for. Anybody willing to make a move? Anybody feel like you need to make a move? If you need to make a move, come. I'm inviting you for a limited time offer. I see a couple. Okay, got some people moving. Got some people moving. Anybody else? I'm just going to see if anybody feels like they need to make a move for God to do something. Sometimes we just need to make a move. All right. All right. Now I got another invitation. Looks like I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. She's kind of up here for her. I know what she's up here for. I think 5 people. Can I get 5 people to come up and put their hands on these folks? 5 people, come put your hands on these folks. If we end up with more than 5, that's not a problem. Just stand behind them. This isn't going to be a prolonged or a big, big thing. This is just me going to pray and the people behind them praying. And if you can pray in the Spirit quietly behind them. We're just going to believe. I want you guys to stretch your hands out. And we're going to close in prayer this morning believing that God's going to move on them, that God's going to make a move in them, through them, that God's going to give them a piece of wisdom maybe or a directive, that God's going to help them press through, because sometimes we just have to struggle to press through. So Father, in your name, we stretch our hands out toward these. We thank you that hands are being laid on them. We thank you that they've made a move, God. They've listened to that much. They didn't have to walk blindly to some pool someplace. They just had to come up here. That was the beginning, Lord. I pray that they've made the move. I pray that as they are standing here, that you'll begin to speak to them, that you'll show them what it looks like, Lord, to press through and touch you, to get what you want for them, because you want it more for them than they want it for themselves. And there may be even more that they don't know that they want, that you are doing right now. So we pray that you will just put it in their heart to touch you and to see what you're up to and to cry out and trust you, that you're not going to leave them by the side of the road, Lord, but that you're going to come to them and that you're going to bless them. I pray that anybody who's standing still in the congregation, who maybe just was a little too afraid to come make a move, I pray that they will find themselves making a bolder move than they would have had to have made here, but you will put it on their heart to make that move. I pray, Lord, for anybody watching via live stream, I pray that they will hear what's been said today and that they will have a heart to make a move. That there will be movement, Lord, on the part of your saints, moving toward that which you desire to give them, so that whatever dis-ease, be it job or physical healing or whatever it is, God, in their body, in their heart, in their soul, in their mind, wherever you want to touch them, Lord, that you would do that marvelously. And we give you praise for it, Father. And so we thank you that we believe that we will hear testimonies of how you began right now to move in them, on them, and through them to see the thing that needs done. And we give you praise for it, Father. And all of God's people agreed by saying, Amen. Amen.